Already having come and gone, I will call to order the Finance Committee meeting of Monday, March 2nd, 2026, and ask Director Schmidtke to please call the roll.
Council President Dittiver?
Here.
Alder Verveer?
Here.
Alder Govindarajan?
Here.
Alder Madison?
Here.
Alder Evers?
Here.
Alder Figueroa Cole?
Here.
Mary O'Quorum.
Thank you. All right. We have no general public comment. So are there any disclosures or recusals on items on tonight's agenda? Seeing none. And we'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any items that members of the body would like to have excluded from the consent agenda? Alder Madison?
Number 11.
Number 11. Alder Figueroa Cole?
Numbers 3 and 13.
Okay. President Fittifer?
12.
Item 12. All right. Are there any other items that members of the body would like to have excluded from the consent agenda? Seeing none, so we will exclude items 3, 11, 12, and 13 from the consent agenda. So President Bitterer, a motion on the balance of the agenda, please.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the balance of the agenda and the recommendations therein. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of that motion? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote and those items will proceed according to the recommendations as noted in the agenda. And we'll go to item 3, which is Legistar 91959, authorizing the upgrade of 6 police officer positions to police sergeant. On item 3, President Bitterer, a motion, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve. Alder Figueroa Cole, do you have questions on item 3?
I would like a quick summary of the math or, you know, how this impacts this budget and next budget.
Okay, we have several folks here from the police department. And so I don't know if Chief Patterson wants to start. I imagine you're going to ask Teague as well. But Chief, why don't you kick us off?
Sounds good. Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for your time tonight. As what's being proposed are 6 existing police officer upgrades to the rank of sergeant. So these are not adding to our authorized strength, but changing the totals, obviously, with regards to total number of police officer positions and sergeants. The amount that you see there is the cost of the upgrade of those 6 positions of roughly $69,000. And what we're proposing is covering that through salary savings this year. We've had some unexpected attrition early in the year that will, I think, help cover it this year. But it would need to be added to, obviously, our base in 2027. So we did meet with HR. We did discuss this with city finance ahead of bringing forward this resolution.
Alder Figueroa-Cole, any additional questions?
I'm sorry. So how much is the total amount for next year again?
The total cost of the upgrade is $69,000.
69 and how many people?
6 sergeants. 6 okay. Upgraded positions, yes.
All right. Yeah, that's all. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. How the cost of it will carry. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Verveer, questions?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Chief, could you just confirm my read of the resolution, and that is that the intention is that all six new sergeant positions would be street supervisors, would be patrol sergeants?
That's correct, Alder. That all six would be assigned to patrol services to help us strike a better balance with our supervisor to subordinate ratios. Right now in patrol, we have some ratios that are very undesirable, you know, specifically on some of our later shifts. We're still working out exactly where those will be assigned. We've pulled together a work group of existing sergeants and patrol lieutenants to look at where these would make the best impact. But that's obviously assuming this gets approved. So.
Thank you. You anticipated one of my follow-up questions. The other follow-up question I had for you is, do you currently have an active sergeants panel? Which leads me to the question, the main question, which is how soon could we see the additional supervisors in patrol?
It's a great question. We do have an active panel that is active and valid through the early part of the third quarter, I believe. I think it expires early September.
So we could see them on the street when, would you say, JP?
Soon after the resolution, if approved, I think we could see them relatively quickly. There's some training time, obviously, that would need to take place before they hit the ground as full-fledged supervisors, and we would need to conduct a mid-year shift shuffle, because these would be obviously new positions that don't currently exist in patrol at this time, but probably by early summer, Alder. I had to pick an exact time period.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Mayor.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Figueroa Cole, additional questions?
I think I got a little confused here. So are these, since they're not new positions, they're just upgrades, are we upgrading specific people, or are people going to be able to apply to these jobs?
No, thank you, Alder. These would be promotions for six individuals. And what Alder Vivier was asking is if a promotional panel exists currently. So the answer to that is yes, there is a panel, and that's all outlined in the CBA on how that works. But there are individuals who would be eligible if this is approved.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Any other questions for the chief on item three? Seeing none, then item three has been moved and seconded. Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, item three has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item three. Thank you, chief. Thank you, Teague, for being here. And we'll go on to item 11, which is Legistar 92031, authorizing the City of Madison Community Development Division to accept a proposed grant from the Oscar Renenbaum Foundation to help fund a four-year neighborhood-based older adult pilot program, amending the Community Development Division's 2026 adopted operating budget to recognize receipt of the first year's installment of that grant and authorizing its expenditure, and authorizing the mayor and city clerk to execute a grant agreement with the foundation to accept that grant. On item 11, President Vitiver, a motion, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Alder Madison, you had questions?
Yeah, I was just hoping for a brief overview about the pilot and when it would start.
Okay, it looks like we have Yolanda Shelton Morris here from CDD.
Good evening, everyone. So the program will start as soon as we are able to fill the two positions that will come from the funding to support this initiative. We hope to start recruitment for that in early spring. So I would say sometime between towards the end of this month or into April, and hope to have those positions in place as early as May or June at the latest.
And then do you mind talking just a little bit about the pilot in general?
Sure.
Or if it'll be more defined with the positions, then I'll come back later. But I'm just a little overview of it, like what you're hoping for.
Sure. So the pilot is meant to expand our current outreach and engagement efforts that we currently do. So we currently have two full-time program and outreach coordinators who are placed at the Madison Senior Center. They do provide and facilitate and implement programming at the Madison Senior Center, but they also work outside of the Senior Center. So they currently have a portfolio of geographic locations and agencies on different sides of town that they work closely with to provide programming at those spaces. So senior living communities across the city of Madison that may have older adults who want to engage in programming, but for whatever reason aren't able to come to the Senior Center, we make sure that we take that program to them directly, whether that's partnering with another organization that's providing programming, Foundation for Black Women's Wellness, or the UW Alzheimer's Research Center. We partner with those agencies to then provide that same programming that we would either have at the Senior Center or that could be provided by another service provider. So this pilot is to expand that. And we're particularly going to expand that in neighborhood centers or other agencies who do not currently have either staff that provide support for older adults or don't have a dedicated program for older adults. So this would allow us to work with those agencies to provide more regular programming that could take place maybe weekly or biweekly or just on a more regular basis. So the two positions will be in addition to the two program and outreach coordinators that I already have on staff. And essentially they would be assigned a portfolio of agencies or centers to work with directly to provide that programming on a regular basis.
That's dope. So just one quick follow-up question. So for example, out here my way, we don't have a community center. We'll have the library soon. So I could have sworn I might have heard that Newbridge might offer programming at the library. But would it sort of capture some of that where if you're in an area of the city that doesn't necessarily have a community center established and someone or agency is already providing older adult programming who might be coming out here, it would kind of capture that, like, figure out where we're not doing programming and expand out, if I'm hearing that correctly.
So, okay. So identifying those centers that don't currently have programming, but also working with our other service providers that are currently servicing older adults to understand where the barriers and the gaps, and then having those conversations to figure out how these two positions can help support in that area.
Gotcha. And then do you, please hit me up once those positions are hired, because I would love to connect with them just to connect them with some older adults here in my district who are kind of like, you know, busy and active and have these kind of conversations with me.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Figueroa-Cole, questions?
Thank you. Yolanda, so these two positions will then be for the term of the grant, and there will be temporary positions or contract positions?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So again, to just making clear, that will not be rolled into the cost to continue, that will be part of the grant.
Correct. They are part of the funding that we'll be receiving. And if we are to maintain them, we would need to find additional resources to be able to do that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Alder. Any other questions on item 11? Seeing none, then item 11 has been moved and seconded. Thank you, Yolanda. Is there any discussion? Alder Madison?
Sorry, I just wanted to say congratulations on the grant, because whatever it took to get it, y'all got it. So I really love that. So congratulations.
Thank you, Alder. I do think that congratulations are in order to Yolanda and her staff, but also thanks to the Rennebaum Foundation. They were very strong partners in developing this idea. And I think also thanks are due to EQT by Design for doing the initial assessment of our older adult services and really highlighting the need to provide more services around the community rather than just through the Madison Senior Center, because this pilot program stems directly from that analysis and the work that the folks at the Senior Center and under Yolanda's leadership have been doing. So kudos all the way around. Any further discussion on item 11? Seeing none, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of item 11? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote on item 11, and we'll move on to item 12, which is Legistar 92015, amending the 2026 Economic Development Division Land Banking Program to add $4 million of geo-borrowing supported by TID 44 and authorizing the execution of a purchase and sale agreement with RDC Development LLC or their successors and assigns for the purchase of 17 properties addressed as 404 Cottage Grove Road, 514, 526, 533, and 551 Penny Street, 3752 Sargent Street, 3708 Olbrick Avenue, 702, 804, 808, 812, 816, 820, 824, 828, and 832 Royster Avenue and 501 Grand Oak Trail, all in Madison, for land banking purposes and authorizing the expenditure of funds for environmental assessment, title work, closing costs, holding costs, any necessary demolition work, and pre-development costs for the same properties, all totaling $6.2 million. On item 12, President Vinover, a motion, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve item 12. President Vinover, you had questions?
Yeah, I was just hoping we could have a brief presentation on this project and why it's being proposed and why now.
Yep. We have Director Wachter here.
Sure. So I don't have a formal presentation, but I can walk through the high level reasons. So the city's land banking program has guidelines that sort of direct staff on where to look for properties. So we're looking at major transit corridors. We're looking at areas that the city has identified through plans as areas of change where we want to see redevelopment happen. We're also looking in particular for sites that make sense for housing, affordable housing. So there's a wide variety of criteria that sort of goes into maps and things that get at that. This site in particular, the city has been actively involved with for quite a while, having a special area plan. And then as the library and apartments developed, we have a vested interest in that we own property here already with the library. It's in a TIF district, so it checks a lot of those boxes that would draw our attention here. We became aware last year that the property was going up for sale. As you probably know, they have a master plan for the whole site, and a good chunk of it's been developed, but it's been a number of years since any of the currently vacant sites have really seen a lot of activity. So we saw this as an opportunity for the city to purchase property that would allow us to really push that master plan forward. And it has sites that are really lined up for a variety of housing types, including ones that we're really, really interested in working on. There are a couple of sites here that are set up specifically in a shape that allows for townhouse style development. And in a sort of larger picture, our department is looking at city owned sites that make sense for townhouse style development. And we're working with an architect to do a variety of sort of prototypical townhouse designs that we could put on some of those sites, and they fit really well here. So it met all of those criteria. We're also in the middle of the city's southeast area plan, which covers this area and is looking at the broader southeast side. And this is identified as an area where we'd like to see more redevelopment happen. So we think that we could spur that to happen. I guess on top of that, we have a unique sort of timing opportunity here, and that this TIF district is healthy, but it's sort of at the end, towards the, a little bit closer to the end of its life. So it's able to do this project. And it's sort of set up at a good time to spend this amount of money at this time.
Can you tell us a little bit about why the developer is selling it? So why hasn't the existing developer been able to work with the land? And you know, what challenges might we face with the city owning it going forward?
Sure. So I have not spoken myself with the developer. The developer had good luck with this first run of things, but in general, just to be honest, this developer doesn't do a lot of multifamily infill type of housing. This is not their sort of core business. I mean, challenges that we could have here. Well, we know a lot about the site already because we've been actively involved, so we're very aware of previous environmental concerns and the cleanup that's happened and the infrastructure that's gone in. So I think we have fewer unknowns than we would normally have in a project. Also, usually when we're land banking, we have to assemble all of the sites and put in the infrastructure and knock down the buildings. We don't have to do any of that here. That sort of pre-work has already been done to set it up so that we could move ahead much more quickly with some redevelopment projects than we normally would. I think, as you've seen some of our land banking projects in the past, it might be 3, 4, 5 years for us to just assemble all of the land, relocate tenants, that kind of thing. I think here we would be looking at moving into a design phase later in 26 to possibly a projects breaking ground in 27.
And is the intention that the city will directly develop the land, or that we'll work with partners, you know, other folks like Masonary Community Land Trust, et cetera, to actually develop the land? Like what's the vision?
I think because it's so many lots, we have the opportunity to develop each of them in a different way, with some going to partners, some directly being done by us. In particular, the townhomes, we're exploring what it would look like for us to develop it as part of this larger portfolio of townhomes. But it certainly doesn't have to be us. I think as we sort of finish up the Southeast Area Plan, we'll get a little more community feedback about what people want to see here, and that'll help direct who the right people are to develop each piece. But it's probably a mix of rental ownership, a variety of price points, so lots of opportunities.
One of the pieces of criticism that's been leveled is the presence of high voltage power lines. Though when I looked at Google Maps, it doesn't seem like they're over the actual parcels to be developed. So I don't know if you just want to speak to that.
Right. So there are power line easements that touch some of the properties, not the larger ones. It's really in the northwest corner. There are lots that are affected by that, and that will limit what those could be developed as. But that's not really the higher density development pads that are affected.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Other questions on item 12? Seeing none, thank you, Director Wachter. Item 12 has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, item 12 has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item 12 and move on to item 13, which is Legistar 92053, amending the city's 2026 adopted budget to appropriate $70,000 from the general fund contingent reserve to fund the water utility, stormwater utility, and sewer utility portions of MADCAP for the remainder of 2026. On item 13, President Vitiver, a motion, please.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve item 13. Alder Figueroa-Cole, you had questions?
Yes, can I get a summary of that? There seemed to be some confusion in the public about what we're trying to accomplish here. Why are we doing this, and what will the impact of it will be on this budget and the next budget? Thank you.
Deputy Mayor Baumel is here.
Good evening. Hi. This is essentially a change of funding source proposal for the MADCAP program. As you're aware, most likely, this is the Madison Customer Assistance Program, where we provide up to $30 a month rebate on utility bills for low-income customers. This is across the municipal utility bill is spread across water, sewer, stormwater, urban forestry, resource recovery, and landfill. And some of those are funded by general fund already. The water, sewer, and stormwater portions were funded through rates. So they're ratepayer funding as opposed to taxpayer funding. A recent decision from the Public Service Commission has essentially said we can no longer fund those with utility funds. They've said that about water. We think the decision has similar implications for storm and sewer going forward. And therefore, if we're going to continue the program to as this affordable, we need to identify a new funding. Proposing that there's a timeline laid out by the Public Service Commission by which we need to ramp down the utility funding, and we're proposing to, in order to keep the program going and alive, to replace those utility funds with general funds. We think that remainder we would need in 2026 would be around $70,000. And we're estimating annual after that would be, the number we're using is $188,000. For comparison, last year, the total was $162,000. That's not $188,000 of new money. That is $188,000 of new money. The total program then from general fund would be around $200,000 under that estimate. Does that answer your question, Alder?
Yes, it does. Do you happen to have with you how many people applied for the benefit from the program last year?
Krishna Kumar is here as well, and although it's not entirely water funded, they run the municipal service bill. Krishna, I think you said last week that there's around 450 households on the program at the moment. Is that correct? Okay. And in terms of how that compares, I think the best data that we have would show that that's about a third of people who likely meet the income threshold. But I'll note you have to pay a municipal service bill. If you're a renter, some number maybe pay theirs, but I think the majority do not pay their own. So not everybody who meets the income threshold is actually the bill payer. And therefore, not all would be eligible.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the information.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Revere.
Thank you, Mayor. And thanks, Christy and Krishna. One of my questions was just asked and answered. So the next question I had was the modifications that are proposed in the resolution, do you all anticipate that simplification will lead to greater enrollment? And if so, by what percentage or number?
Well, Krishna and I are looking at each other without knowing it. I guess I'll start and you can add. I think it's possible. There's a couple, so the modifications we're proposing are to change some of the criteria to simplify it, make it easier for people to enroll, and to make it easier to administer. These were requirements that were in place because the Public Service Commission had required them. One of them is just to say we're going to have one standard rebate level as opposed to two tiers. We don't expect that to necessarily change the enrollment modification we're making. Another is it had required you sign up for conservation prior to enrolling. We're now proposing that would be something offered after, but not required before. And then the third is probably the one that might be have the most potential to increase enrollment, and that is to simplify eligibility. We're using the same income thresholds as a number of other programs out there, and we're proposing to say that if you can show us that you're a WIC, you have a WIC card, or like you qualify for WIC or Section 8, or you're a food share recipient, then we would take that as you have shown the burden of proof, rather than filling out all of the paperwork and proving your income again, we would let you use that proxy. So that might be a way that we get more folks. You can imagine at like a Parks Alive event or something, people walk by, have some interest, but don't want to sit there and fill out the paperwork. Obviously don't have all of the forms with them that they would need to verify their income. But if they have their EPT card, that might mean that we can sign that customer up more easily in a circumstance like that. So it's, Krishna, please speak up if you have projections of how much that might raise. But I think it's fair to say we may get some more customers than we currently have.
Well, I would also just add the bit about staff time, that part of this is about making it take less staff time to verify eligibility. And so in addition to potentially signing up more folks who are eligible, we hope that it will reduce the amount of staff time needed to administer the program overall.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you all. I do have another question related. Perhaps it's a not related enough, but hopefully, Mayor, you'll allow it. And that is, since we have you here, Krishna and Pete, could you share with us any other reaction or analysis of the PSC rate case? I haven't heard. With the exception of this unfortunate news, which we saw coming, and you had prepared us, I would say, for this, given the staff conversations, the PSC staff was not going to support continuing the MADCAP. Could you just share with us how we did in the other aspects of the rate case, please?
Sure, I'll give it that shot. So there were three components to our current 2025 rate case journey. The one was to ask the PSC to double the amount of cash funding of pipelines or expense depreciation. They readily agreed to it. So $10 million of cash funding of pipelines, which is a great thing. So currently we have $5 million annually. That will become $10 million now. Called an additional cash in terms of funding. So we had asked for $7 million annually. They agreed for $3.5 million. That should meet our current needs. We are being a little greedy in getting more infrastructure in place, but PSC, for right reasons, reduced that amount.
Were there any other aspects of their decision that you think are worth sharing?
Those are the three big ones, Alder.
Very good. Well, thank you. And I will say, too, this is the first time you've appeared before us since your retirement announcement, Krishna. So early congratulations on your impending retirement in June. It's been a pleasure working with you, but hopefully we'll see you again here before June, perhaps. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Madison, questions?
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to ask, I know Deputy Mayor Obama was sharing, you know, how you all are making it easier, how it's much easier for folks to apply now. But I'm just process-wise, will this all be shared with folks that the city funds who are likely qualifiers for this program? You know, like our community centers, the older adults agencies, for example.
I think our plan is to get the word out in all of the ways we can. I think we are waiting to make sure that this is moving forward, but then we'll have some communications to put out about how we're simplifying the program, and happy to take input on that as well.
Yeah. Just in case I forget, if you could definitely note to just circle back to me, I would love to chat about ways to get it out there to folks who can help them also, you know, complete whatever the thing is to complete it.
Yep, will do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Figueroa Cole, questions?
One more question, maybe silly question. Do we deplete the funds that we reserve every year? Do we actually use everything that we budget for this program?
Krishna, that might be a better question for you.
Sure. No, Alder, the estimating about 1,500 eligible participants for this program. It depends on how many would apply any given year. So we kind of budget hoping for a larger enrollment, you know, so we have unspent dollars, strictly speaking, from what we had originally budgeted. But now the ask for here seems to be pretty realistic.
Okay, thank you. So it sounds like we will have some kind of a buffer if the program takes off at a higher rate. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Any other questions on item 13? Seeing none, thank you, Christy and Krishna. Item 13 has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, item 13 has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record unanimous vote in favor of item 13. That is the last item on our agenda. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we stand adjourned. Have a good evening, everyone.